And so when we're looking at the factors that are influencing decision-making under pressure, that's what this is all about, is how does a person make a decision under pressure? So we're looking at things that are going on intrapsychically, so your kind of metacognition about what produces anxiety would be factors that we'd be looking at, and that would affect things like decision-making speed and being able to analyze data effectively. We're also looking at what goes on interpersonally. So there's, I think, some pretty high introverted aspects of you, which means that you're highly self-reliant. So in spite of the fact you might be anxious, you're also being able to utilize yourself very well. We're looking at factors that will influence your distractions. So anxiety might be one of those things, which means that in spite of the fact that you like to analyze data, the distractions are going to be caused by your curiosity. The distractions are going to be caused by your creativity. So it's not just that you're highly distractible for any reason. You're highly distractible because you're very curious and you're also very creative.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Bowbird Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us. Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Leave us a review on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everyone. I am here with Dr. Nick Molinaro. Doctor, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on your show today, Ben. Appreciate it.
I am excited to have you on the show. Long time coming. I know we disconnected for a little while. I actually had an amazing opportunity to take one of your assessments. I want to ultimately get into that in a little bit. But to get started, let's introduce you, doctor, because, I mean, you've been on television, you work with Fortune 200 companies. You're a very humble guy, but I see you as a rock star and ultimately a total expert on ultimately performance and data-driven analytics that talk about why people perform well. And I don't know if I'm doing a good job introducing you or not. I want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself and tell us what you do at Performance in Mind.
Thank you very much. My background has been in clinical psychology, and having studied it years ago and starting my practice in clinical psychology, probably about 10 years into it, I decided to work more in performance. And so my performance work is with high-performing athletes, whether they're professional, collegiate, world-class Olympians, and certainly in the business realm. And there's a very strong correlation between what goes on in sport and what goes on in business. And so that's the intriguing part of trying to help people understand why I do what I do.
I love it. And I took one of the assessments, the TAIS assessment, right? What Correct. Is TAIS and why do you administer this assessment?
Well, it's a test of attentional and interpersonal style. And the reason I administer this test versus some of the others is because it is it's very, very specific to the individual. The data that we get doesn't put people into categories of using colors or letters or kind of silos about you're this kind of person or that kind of person. So what the test is measuring are intrapsychic processes, interpersonal processes, and attentional styles all around a performance under pressure. And that's what we do. So the test was standardized on Olympic athletes. soon they found out that it was very effective with military personnel, so Navy SEALs, FBI, Army Rangers. And then they found that there's a high correlation between what the test was measuring and individuals and high levels of business performance. We use it for talent acquisition, succession planning, cultural enhancement, those kinds of things.
I love it. And what ultimately can you expect from a test like this? Is this the kind of thing that an individual can take? I know I'm so yes. humble that I had the opportunity to take this test. Do individuals take it, or is this something for a large corporation to administer?
The answer is yes. It's for both. The way I began in the corporate world is because I've had a lot of experience working with professional golfers, and then my reputation grew. So I was working with a lot of high-level golfers, some of which were our corporate CEOs. And so that's how it began. But yes, we went to corporations, and working in Fortune 200 companies, we're in pharmaceuticals, finance, professional services, construction throughout the U.S., Canada, actually throughout the world. We're consulting now with a company in Belgium. So we're international, we're national, we're local as well.
I love that. And I'm from Rochester, New York. You have ties to Rochester as well. What are your ties to Rochester?
Well, our introduction came from Kevin Rostici, and that he's been very kind. He likes what I'm doing. Similarly, I was on a podcast with Cochran Cochran Yale. And as a result of that, we were talking a little bit about what's been going on with COVID and the impact upon performance and functioning generally. And Kevin reached out to me, and that's how I began this journey of meeting a number of companies and people like yourself in Rochester. And Rochester's been very welcoming to me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Where are you calling out of?
I'm in Mendham, New Jersey, as a suburb. It's not off the turnpike, so there's no numbers or letters to get to us. I'm literally our house was built in the 1700s. You're now in my barn, which I use for my office. And I'm literally on the road. This was a country road, and a little bit more than one lane wide, but now we have cars traveling down it.
I love it. And I appreciate you mentioning Kevin. Great guy. Like you said, he made the introduction between you and I, and he said, Dr. Nick, he's a genius. Wait till you take this assessment. You're going to poop your pants. It's the greatest thing ever. My mind was blown. And I was like, I don't know if he's overselling this or not. I've taken personality tests, things like that. And I must say, doctor, the TAIS assessment was definitely mind-opening. This podcast is for all the listeners, so I don't want to spend too long talking about myself. You've sure. already ultimately taught me so much about myself when you and I spoke. But a couple things I wrote down is I scored high in conceptual, highly aware, highly distractible, action focused, but I also scored very high in tremendously high in anxiety, which anyone close to me probably understands, and very low when it comes to expression of criticism and anger, and very low when it comes to physical competitiveness. So I wanted to shout this out because if anyone knows me as a listener, they might be like, oh, that makes sense. But when it came to things like expression of anger and criticism, kind of opened my mind. Like I kind of had this optimistic mentality. And sometimes I don't express my anger, and sometimes maybe that leads to my anxiety. And what cracked me up, doctor, is when you and I were talking about the fact that if you put me in a role where I was a cop, I was a Marine, I would fail miserably, because those high anxiety moments is the opposite of what I'm good at. But what you opened my eyes to in my performance DNA is my ability to complete a task to perfection if given a timetable versus those high anxiety moments. So I just wanted to say thank you for kind of bringing that information. We only scratched the surface But your assessment really taught me a lot. And I know from experiencing it, and I know from Kevin experiencing it, anyone listening would gain a lot of value learning. What do you call it? A performance DNA test?
Yes. I mean, so when we're looking at the factors that are influencing decision-making under pressure, that's what this is all about, is how does a person make a decision under pressure? So we're looking at things that are going on intrapsychically. So your kind of metacognition about what produces anxiety would be factors that we'd be looking at. And that would affect things like decision-making speed and being able to analyze data effectively. We're also looking at what goes on interpersonally. So there's, I think, some pretty high introverted aspects of you, which means that you're highly self-reliant. So in spite of the fact you might be anxious, you're also being able to utilize yourself very well. We're looking at factors that will influence your distractions. So anxiety might be one of those things, which means that in spite of the fact that you like to analyze data, the distractions are going to be caused by your curiosity. The distractions are going to be caused by your creativity. So it's not just that you're highly distractible for any reason. You're highly distractible because you're very curious and you're also very creative. So people misunderstand what distractibility is about. I'm sure as you're driving, that factors that might influence your decision-making are what are going to occur in the moment. That's a great thing, because if a deer were to jump out, we'd want to make sure that you were distracted. So when you look at factors that are distracting, we want to look at sort of like the DNA of that. So being creative and being artistic, or anyone who's artistic is creative, but not everybody who's creative is necessarily artistic. But people that are creative are also intuitive. And people don't look at those two things together. So when I go in and I'm assessing a CEO or a CFO or even someone who's going to be hired, you know, maybe even at the level of putting things together, you know, in a widget factory, we want to see where their attention's going to be and can they sustain attention, whether things are mundane or not. So someone is putting together widgets, we want people to be able to sustain their attention over a long period of time. But because your profile also spoke to a high degree of creativity and intuitive process, it's not by accident that you're doing a podcast and doing a new podcast, as I understand. That's an example of your creativity.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And anyone listening, we're talking about me here, but this is for every individual. Everyone's going to have a different DNA. I'm wondering, super high performers, you know, Fortune 200 executives that are very competent and successful in their role. Are there certain things that you find they're strongest at? Are there certain things you look for?
Yes. I mean, so depending upon the industry. So for example, if we look at the finance industry, their focus is actually very, very narrow. And although they might be very aware, they don't stay focused on something for a long period of time. And when I was interviewing one of these high-performing individuals, and his awareness score was actually pretty low, we would not expect to see that in a Fortune 200 mega financial company. And when I took his background, we found out that he studied as a physician. So he has an MD degree. So I explained my concerns, and he said to me when he was working in an ER, and if you were doing triage, if a person came into the ER and they were bleeding, they had a broken bone, but they weren't breathing, you don't need any more attention to anything else other than let's make sure the guy's breathing. So when we look at his high risk taking in finance, he gathers very little information because he can rule out things that are unimportant and narrows attention down and then move on to something different. Now, when we look in construction, we didn't find that to be the case. We found that they were very attentive to detail. Their focus was very, very high, and that their risk-taking was reasonable. But their focus in the moment was on very, very fine details and protracted over a long period of time. So when I look at accountants, that might be the case, except for those individuals that are in positions of leadership, they were not very rigid. Accountants were rigid. but the leaders in accountancy were not. So we'll go into the company, we'll be able to tell you who's the next leader and who might not be the most effective in position of leadership because of that. I'm working with a company where a CFO wants to become a CEO. The ability to shift the attention in a much broader perspective and multitask was not very characteristic of a CFO. So he's probably not going to be the CEO. But that's the kind of things that we can do. We can tell you department-specific, company-specific, industry-specific. And all of our work is done in a very, very highly individualized way. It's customized to the company, to the team within the company, to the industry. I don't think you're going to find many companies doing what we're doing.
Yeah, it sounds like if you're a leader of a company, if you're in HR, human capital, maybe people are placed in the wrong positions. You're not utilizing their skill set good enough. And having someone like Dr. Nick come in and ultimately administer these tests is a great way to analyze who should be in what role. Beyond that, if you're someone like me, you're currently a solopreneur, knowing your own internal performance DNA is going to be great going forward to become a better leader. I'm wondering in the realm of athletes, because you've dealt with a lot of athletes, which both is team-oriented, but also solo. I mean, a golfer, maybe anyone in the Olympics, they might be working solo. Do they have different performance traits than maybe, you know, the CPA or the accountant we just spoke of?
Some of them do and some of them don't. And so I have permission to use Rudy Winkler's name. Rudy is a New York State resident, and I've trained with him when he was down at Rutgers. And he took his master's in cybersecurity, I think. So he had a fifth year to finish, and so we were down there. We trained for the Summer Olympics last summer, but it was postponed because of what's going on. And Rudy, hope people will be rooting for him. He has to get into the Olympics as he does the Olympic trials on June 23rd out in Oregon. Rudy threw the longest distance in the world, actually in New York State. And as a result of that, has not had the official longest distance in the world. But we hope to see that take place when he is in the Summer Olympics this year in Japan. So profiles, and I won't give you Rudy's profile because I've mentioned his name, but depending upon the sport, you know, we're going to find different factors. So worked with gymnasts at the Olympic level and now a hammer thrower, and also in slope-style snowboarding in big air, which is a lot different than just going down the tube where you see them going down the half pipe rather. So they all have different profiles based upon what their responsibilities are. So we want people who are going to be shifting attention. Well, in these situations where people are actually not trying to compete in a moment against them, these are called closed sports. People aren't going to try to knock them down. But when I work with open sport athletes, like NBA players that I've worked with, or recently a player who's been signed for a large number in MLB, where people are trying to influence you in another way by distracting you, that's not the same thing that's going on with, you know, people in closed sports. Now, what goes on in the industry? Well, is it closed sport or open sport? There's many factors that are influencing you in the moment. So we have to take a look at the specific position and the responsibilities before we can tell you what that profile should look like.
I love it. This is random, doctor, but where did you learn all this stuff? Do you have a mentor or educator in your life that, I mean, you're a wealth of information. Where did it all come from?
Well, so thank you for asking the question. I do have a mentor, Dr. Anthony Polisi, who is now retired as he's kind of up in age. But I started out as a special ed teacher. So part of what has driven me to higher level performance and in a 2-minute presentation that I make on LinkedIn, which you'll hear tomorrow and Tuesday's thought, you'll hear it first here, is that one of the reasons that I got interested in sport was to look at high-level performance. Interesting. If you look at a third grader who is doing very well in math, one of the reasons why that might be the case is because they're also playing open sports. So there's a high correlation between open sports like basketball and academic proficiency in math because of that experience. Now, I'm not going to say that every child who's playing basketball in third grade is going to be proficient in math, but I got interested in working with high-level performers because I was looking at trying to figure out how they make decisions. And so individuals that are in open sport where I mentioned that someone's going to try to stop you, and what's happening in their executive functioning is that they have to be able to shift their attention, stop themselves from doing one thing, going one way, and go the other way. Right. Hockey is a real good example. Basketball is a real good example. That's actually affecting your executive functioning.
That's incredible. You know, I'll tell you, it's funny, Doctor. I was a slow learner. Math was my one subject I did great at, and I was a basketball addict my whole life. I mean, I like to think that I wasn't that good at math because the only thing I could count by was threes. So,
Well, I didn't know this, but I was dyslexic. I graduated in the bottom 20% of my high school class, had an SAT combination of 900, and one of them didn't break 400. So I think my dyslexia probably affected my academics, but a master's, a doctorate, postgraduate training. I teach doctoral students in psychology. I teach doctoral students in sports psychology specifically, as well as counseling psychology. I would never have guessed that that was going to be the case. But one of the things that you'll hear that are characteristic of all high-level performers, it's not their confidence. It's grit. And grit, passion, perseverance, but a low need for positive reinforcement and self-efficacy. I had an interview on a network channel after I'd done my work on a golf channel to speak about open sports such as football. And I said, I'll be glad to comment on their psychological performance. But if one of your announcers says, oh, he dropped the ball, there goes his confidence, I'll say, well, that's not true. Are you telling me that a professional or world-class athlete loses their confidence because they dropped the ball? Watch what happens the very next time. Let's look at Tiger Woods when he shot a 10 in the Masters on hole number 12. It was a par 3. He shot a 10. His grit got him to perform at a high level where he shot 6 under par for the next 6 holes.
Right.
So confidence is a very poor predictor of performance. You're going to hear this all the time about confidence, and I'm going to tell you it's not true. So a good example of this is what's called self-efficacy, the belief in one's ability to perform at a high level. So what's efficacy? Efficacy is the truth. If you take Advil for a headache, would you take Advil if you were in Rochester, New York, or Mendham, New Jersey? Yeah. Would you take it if you were vacationing? Would you take it on Monday or Tuesday? The efficacy of the medication doesn't change, and neither does it with high-level performers. So the two best predictors of performance at high levels, actually in business as well, is not intelligence, it's not confidence, it's grit and self-efficacy.
Grit and self-advocacy. I love it. I love the underdog stories. Someone like you didn't realize, you know, you had maybe a learning disability, ultimately grew into highly intelligent, very high performer. When you look at someone like Michael Jordan, who got cut from the basketball team, or a big mentor of mine is Jim Quick. And, you know, Jim Quick was known as the boy with the broken brain. He couldn't read quickly. He was just a slow learner. Nothing was going his way. And then when he learned a little bit about meta learning, how to learn properly, how to speed read, how to comprehend, how memory exercises, before you know it, he's teaching the big wigs exactly how he does it when he was the boy with the broken brain. So I love these stories of people understanding their DNA a little bit more, understanding their strengths, and allowing them to ultimately be super highly functional when someone could be totally confident, be above average their whole life, but never work on themselves. And that person who's been working on themselves and developing themselves the entire time, they might surpass them pretty quickly, it seems like.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you hear the stories about the truth about people's ability, not about the way they feel about how they're going to perform. Feelings are saved for after the performance is over. I never talk about winning. I always talk about execution. We have to be in the moment in order to perform at our highest level. And that's what I do in business and in sport.
I love it. Obviously, I could ask you a million questions. I want to keep it brief. And I'm wondering, people at home might be wondering, okay, so I want to take the assessment. I want to learn more. But where do I start in general? Like, if there's anything someone can do, whether it's mindset, education, anything like that, that they can do to get started today without even having to pick up a phone and calling you? Like, is there any essentials that we all should be doing?
Sure. I would certainly look at Mindset by Carol Dweck. It's a really good book. And certainly Grit by Dr. Angela Duckworth. And if you're a visual learner or an auditory learner, I would certainly listen to her TED Talk. Those would be two basic things. You know, self-efficacy is a little bit more complicated to try to explain. You know, it's kind of research-based dynamic, but I would basically take a look at those things. I would always ask people to push themselves forward. Goal setting is a really important process, and there are several steps to do that. But those would be the basic things that I'd be looking at: grit, mindset, goal setting in a very effective way.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I want to keep it brief and go to the rapid fire round. Very short, you know, fill in the blank, either or questions, just to get to know Dr. Nick a little bit better. How's that sound?
Thank you. Yes, we're glad to participate.
Breakfast. Do you eat breakfast? What are you eating in the morning?
Well, now it's a protein bar. I'm trying to lose a little weight.
Good stuff. Coffee or tea?
Both. Actually, in Toulouse tea leaves and also coffee.
I love loose leaf tea as well. What about beer or wine? Are you a drinker at all?
Not really. I have my grandfather's wine press and wine barrels from over in Italy, and I don't drink wine. And I used to drink beer, but not very much at all.
Hey, good for you. Good for you. I'm wondering, time off, are you listening to music? Or are you listening to a podcast?
I'm listening to classical music mostly.
What else? What should I ask you? Favorite social media platform? If someone wants to follow you online, where do you interact with the most?
LinkedIn, by far, is where I have a large network. Not much on Twitter, and the faithful following of a little small number on Instagram, but mostly LinkedIn.
Good stuff. Where do people reach out? Reach out on LinkedIn. Website, email, phone number. How do we keep in touch?
So you can find me at performanceinmind.com. And Dr. Nick at performanceinmind is my email. And you can get my number online, but it's 973-543-0808. It's the best way to reach me.
Good stuff. Doctor, I always try to ask very beginner mindset questions. I never know what the listener's thinking. Is there anything that you think we should have touched on that the listener might find interesting that maybe I forgot to ask you?
You know, I think, you know, I'm a spiritual man, and I think spirituality is very important. You know, people will say, is that about God or not? Well, it can be both. I guess what I would like to leave people with is the difference between faith and trust. Trust is based upon proof and past experiences, and it's a belief. Faith, there is no proof. There's no doubt. And it's future oriented, and it is a belief.
Thank you, Doctor, for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for the opportunity, Ben. Hope we do this again.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.